Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Late in Branding. I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher, and today I'm going to be picking up where I left off in the last episode with talking about increasing reach, talking about ethical ways to increase reach, and thinking about ways to build a following. So, once again, welcome back to Late in Branding. So, let's get right to it, because I got a little bit more to say, and the episode's going to be a little bit, probably longer than the last one. So, the sixth strategy, the sixth way to increase your reach is to generate modular content. And I talked about modular reading versus linear reading in a previous episode. And I'm just going to pick up here and say, go listen to that episode. It's a short one. It's only about 6 to 7 minutes. But what's important to remember about modular content is that it can be restructured in any order with any discrete piece. So whether it's a podcast episode, a piece of writing, or even a video, people can watch them out of order. And the important thing here is to go back and revisit old content that wasn't written modularly and rewrite it in a modular fashion if you had an ongoing series. So for instance, people should be able to listen to this episode, Increasing Reach Part 2, out of order with Increasing Reach Part 1. And they can. They don't need to know what happened in that first part to listen to the second part, and vice versa. So that's essentially the gist of modular content. And so the seventh strategy talks a little bit and sort of echoes a little bit of that modular idea, but it's reworking content across mediums. So it's trying to think about, for instance, if you are a writer and a blogger, how you could turn your blog into a podcast. Conversely, how you could turn a podcast into a video channel, like on YouTube, or how you could do all of these things and get them all to relate to one another. Now, my personal advice here is if you have a YouTube channel already, it's very easy to create a podcast. You simply take the video and you strip out the audio and you immediately have a podcast that you could put up somewhere. And there's a lot of different ways to create a podcast. It's pretty easy. And then conversely, you also might want to think about the various types of mediums that a platform encourages. So for instance, the easy one is always Snapchat and video versus Facebook and Twitter are very textual or maybe GIF oriented. But the point here is actually think about the platform, the genre, the type of content you're producing, and then rework the medium to target that platform. All right, number eight, ask the audience to share content. And this sounds easy. This sounds kind of course, why wouldn't you do this? But let me sort of offer some details in the ways at which this looks a little bit differently than we might think about it. So ask audience to share content. You could do it within the content itself, right? So you might ask in a podcast episode or piece of writing, you might say, hey, share the content for me. Would you hit the share button, etc.? All of that works. That's fine. You could write it into your paragraphs. Of course, all those things work. But more so, other ways to ask the audience to share are send them direct messages. Go ahead on Facebook and Twitter, direct message people, ask them to share content. A second strategy that I've observed and I've researched is to actually use LinkedIn and find people who are creating content similar to your own, message them, expand your network simultaneously, and ask them to share on their various networks. And then, of course, you would be willing to share theirs. But there's sort of a quid pro quo here in the sense that since sort of with the collapse of institutions and with the collapse of permanent work and a permanent career at one location, we sort of all have to be our own brands here. And asking the audience to share your content is a good way to expand not only your network, but also your audience. Number nine is a little bit difficult. If possible, you want to redesign the interfaces to suit your content. Now, why is that strategy difficult? It's difficult to redesign the interfaces if you're using someone else's content management system. You know, so if you're using, for instance, Facebook or even WordPress, you don't have a whole lot of control over the interfaces. So I'm not going to, you know, get off my high horse here, but maybe I'll slow the high horse down and say, you know, you want to try to create your own website from scratch, or at least build it so that you have control over your interface. If you have WordPress, I recommend upgrading. I also recommend investing in knowing how to not only create your own CSS file, but also run JavaScript so that you can create interactions and interfaces that are unique to your content, that are built around your content, as opposed to built around someone else's platform like WordPress, Facebook, Twitter. All those things are, of course, useful and easy to use, and that's why they've proliferated. But you still want to be able to control the interface and the design specifically of your own site. And the example I have here that I always talk about is when Facebook redesigned its site from a profile-based site to a newsfeed-based site, they did it because they wanted the design to suit their content. And their content was they were trying to generate more user data in order to generate more revenue. And so they redesigned the site to fit their content. And so because user profiles, people wouldn't go back and refill them in over and over again. And so their users weren't producing data on a regular automated or habituated basis. They do that now. And so that's one of the reasons why the company is so popular. All right, finally, number 10. And this seems a little simple. This seems a little simple, but I'm going to elaborate on it. Ensure the delivery of your content. So obviously, things that go without saying. Be consistent. Be persistent. Remember, those are the first two episodes of the podcast. Consistency and persistence. But even more so, you want to ensure the delivery of your content in terms of day of the week and time of day. And in order to determine those things, you have to figure out what your audience is doing. And so my recommendation in order to ensure delivery of content is to survey your audience, talk to them, engage them using perhaps the strategies I've laid out both in this episode and in part one of this episode. But even more so, you want to think about when to share your content, post it, deliver it, publish it, based on two things. One, a hard timing, right? So lunchtime, noon, Eastern time, those are hard timing. Soft timings are what are people doing during those times, right? So the reason why you share your content at lunchtime, Monday through Friday, might be because people are at work and they're having their lunch break. So during their work day, they don't check social media as much. They don't check your site as much, whereas on their lunch break, they might. And so I call that hard timing and soft timing. For those of you who might be listening and are rhetorical theorists, this is sort of Kronos and Kairos, but I mean, the rest of the people who are listening, my students, etc., you don't have to really know those terms, but rhetorically, I'm talking about Kronos and Kairos, which is quantitative-based time and qualitative-based time. Anyways, I digress. All right, there's also one more thing I want to talk about in terms of ensuring the delivery of content. You also want to think about how algorithms work and the way algorithms influence the when of sharing. And the example I use here is Facebook's algorithm, EdgeRank. And there are three parts of the algorithm: user affinity, weight of content, and time decay. All right, they're pretty easy to explain. User affinity is the relationship you have to other people. So for instance, if you list somebody on the site as a family member, you have a higher user affinity. The more interactions you have with somebody, the higher your user affinity. Weight of content means that text only is not highly valued. Videos and images are more highly valued. Stuff with more likes, more comments, highly valued. Fewer comments, fewer likes, lower value. Those kinds of things are pretty straightforward. And then time decay is recent stuff is better, older stuff is not as good. And so this creates a score of all posts on Facebook. Now, why is this important to creating a consistent form of delivery? Well, when you think about the EdgeRank algorithm, one of the things that it's doing is it's turning the algorithm and the display of content into the when of content. So if you think about the algorithm as an audience, it will be able to turn the display on Facebook's newsfeed into a when, and that creates a sense of delivery. And so if you'd like to know more, you can contact me over email, but those are some of the things that are sort of like disrupt our ideas of when, and this idea of timing in online space is that timing eventually becomes space. And I know that's kind of a heady idea, it's a little bit academic, but something I talk about in my classes, and it's really useful for rethinking the when of content production. All right, so I'm going to end here just with a few exercises you could do for yourself. You could think about how to rewrite content for a particular venue. You could also think about what kind of survey you could design to learn about your engaged audience. What kinds of questions would you ask them? What do you want to know about your audience? Do you have an audience? How do you gauge that? You could also think about how would you rewrite your site's content for each platform, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit. And then you could also talk about the different types of affordances and functionalities of the different platforms. This is always good for group work if you're working in collaboration or maybe over a few, you know, like Google Docs or something like that. Another useful kind of breakout exercise to do either for yourself or in a group is to think about what kinds of comments you routinely receive and then collate them, collect them into a user database and try to identify common themes that you see. And then the third exercise is really just to think about when is the best time to deliver your content and how do you know that? And you need to have that rationale. So that's the most important part, is having a rationale for the when of content delivery. All right. So that's the end of the episode. I am, of course, your host, John Robert Gallagher. You can contact me at johnrgallagher@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter. My handle is @meresophistry. Once again, the handle is @meresophistry. And I'd love to hear from anybody. So please let me know if you have any comments, questions. All right. Once again, thanks for listening.